You know, sometimes in life, folk don't want to hear you. Folk don't want to pay you any mind. But it's reassuring to know that for children of God, there's always somebody listening who hears every word that we say and answers every prayer that we secretly pray. You know, you want your wife to listen to you. You want your husband to listen to you. You want your daughter to listen to you. You want your brothers and sisters to listen to you. Little children want their parents to listen to them. Back in the day, they used to say that children were to be seen and not heard. Sometimes we give little children the impression that they are not important, that they are not significant, that they are not worthy of our listening to. I think it is especially important for parents to listen with attentive ears to their children. When children come to you with something on their hearts, it is a wonderful thing for a parent to take time out and to tell mama about it. Just tell daddy about it. And listen, give them your full and undivided attention. Because the parent loves the child. And the parent wants what's best for the child. And so it makes the child feel good. It affirms him. It improves his self-image when he understands that he is important enough for mama to listen to, for daddy to listen to. It's a wonderful thing that as children of God, he's always listening to us. So you don't have to be afraid that you're going to wake God up at the midnight hour if you call upon him. He's up already. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And the slightest whisper in your prayer closet is heard in loud and clear tones in heaven at the throne of God. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to audibly articulate your desires. You can just think your prayer, and the Lord hears you loudly and clearly. There's no doubt that the Lord loves us. You know, we sing, I know somebody loves me. Isn't that right? That's what it says. I know. We know that. We know that Jesus loves us. And he didn't just talk a good game, but Jesus validated his claim to love us because he was willing to sacrifice his life on the cross. That's why Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he affirms, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So I know somebody's listening, and I know somebody loves me. And as a part of the body of Christ, we have the assurance as well that not only does the Lord listen, not only does the Lord love us, but that our brothers and sisters in Christ, they are listening and they love us as well. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the passage in Genesis that was read by Brother Quarles a few minutes ago, Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. Then we're going to later turn to Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Going to talk to you about Brother Enoch this evening. Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And I just want to use as the specific title of our lesson this evening an ideal epitaph, but no tombstone. An ideal epitaph, but no tombstone. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Methuselah is a very interesting Bible character. I don't know exactly what kind of life Methuselah lived. There are no details as to what he did. It only indicates that he was born and that he died. The Bible says in verse 27 with reference to Methuselah, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. I don't know what he accomplished. I don't know what he did. I don't know exactly what his occupation was or what career path he followed, but he lived to be an old man. That's one thing that we do know, that he lived to be 969 years old. What if Gene Davis lived that long? You don't want to live that long, sir? He would outlive all of his contemporaries. Poor wife would have long since been put in the soil. I guess most of you probably wouldn't want to live that long. You don't have to worry, you won't. Yeah, you won't. But Methuselah did. But Methuselah's daddy is the one with whom we are concerned about whom we are concerned this evening. He walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. You know, walking with the Lord for 3 years is wonderful. Walking with him for 30 years is a wonderful thing. But Methuselah walked with God 300 years after he begat his children. He lived 365 years. Far short of the age to which his son Methuselah attained. But there's something significant and interesting about the life of Brother Enoch. The record does not say, and he died. Hebrews 9:27. Says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, the Lord has made that determination. That's the rule that the Lord established. But inasmuch as he established it, he had the right and he had the power to suspend that rule as it related to Brother Enoch. He had the right to make an exception to the rule. And he did. The Bible says in verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What happened to Enoch? God took him. A little girl once stated that one day Enoch and God were walking along together, and it got late in the evening, And they had walked so far that the Lord just told Enoch, just come on, go home with me. I don't know exactly if that's really the way it happened, but we do know he walked with God. Because he's not the only man that walked with God. Noah, an upright man, perfect in his generation, Noah walked with God. Amos asked the question in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm convinced that old Enoch, in walking with God, was living a life that was in agreement with God, that was consistent with God's will. That he walked in such a way that he was unified with God. He was a friend of God. God loved Enoch. God enjoyed fellowship with Enoch. God thought highly of Enoch. And you said, Brother Jones, well, how do you know that? How do you know how the Lord felt about Brother Enoch? Well, the Bible tells me he did. Hebrews 11. Enoch is listed among those whose names are enshrined in what we call the Great Hall of the Faithful. Verse 5 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Told you. And was not found. Somebody said Enoch was the man that disappeared. He was not found. He did not see death because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then we go to that verse, Zali, that we always quote and everybody is familiar with. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You know, we often don't consider what is said in verse 5. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And then, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what a beautiful illustration of God rewarding those who diligently seek him when we look at the life and the example of Enoch himself. How best can God reward those he loves and reward those with whom he is well pleased than to allow them to come home with him? It's significant that all of us strive to be like Enoch insofar as walking with God goes, and insofar as pleasing God goes. I want you to look at just a few passages with me that deal with the concept of pleasing God. Proverbs 16 and verse 7 is the first one. Proverbs 16 and verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. We recognize Jesus was affirmed as the Son of God in Matthew 3:17 and in Matthew 17:5. After his baptism, the heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit descended and lighted on Jesus in the form of a dove. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The same thing is mentioned in Matthew 17, 5, and he adds, hear ye him. If you want to please God, hear Jesus. If you want to please God and walk with God, you have to listen to what Jesus has to say. You know, we know somebody's listening to us. The question is, are we listening to the Lord? And if you want the Lord to listen to you, then you must of necessity listen to the Lord. How many of y'all have mute buttons on your remote controls at home for your television? Television remote controls. Anybody got a mute button? You ever use it? You ever use it? Somebody don't ever use it. So you don't have to, when you don't want to hear something, you don't have to just turn the thing all the way down or press the volume button. Just press mute. And the set is silent, whatever program you're watching. Watching the news, watching Law and Order, watching the weather, whatever you're watching. Just press the mute button. You don't hear nothing anymore. Unfortunately, that's the way it is with a lot of folks in their relationship with God. Some people have that remote control, and as far as they are concerned, it works. When they don't want to hear something that God has to say, press the mute button. Ignore it. In essence, you don't hear it because your ears are dull of hearing. A lot of folk seek to mute God, seek to silence God, seek to act as if God did not say many of the things that he said. They've pressed that mute button. I don't hear you no more. What you have to say, I'm not even concerned about. I'm not even listening because I'm using my mute button. But now, if you're not careful, you see, if you want the Lord to listen to you, you better listen to him. Because you don't want God to press your mute button. But he will. If you don't live a life that is consistent with and congruent with his will, in keeping with his word, if you spurn and repudiate the law of God, then God will press his mute button. Remember, the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God, and hid his face from you that he will not hear. Let me go over there in Isaiah right quick, y'all. Yeah, we're familiar with the passage. I want to make sure that I get it exactly right. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Listen. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, that's it, your sins have hid his face from you that he, what? That he will not hear. I told y'all God had a mute button, didn't I? Yeah, you don't want God to press his mute button. You won't be able to sing along with Eric when he sings, I know somebody's listening. If he pressed that mute button on you, he don't even hear you. Your mouth is working as far as he's concerned, but he's not listening because of the presence of sin. But he will listen with great compassion and sensitivity if you please him, like Jesus pleased him, like Enoch pleased him. Another passage, John 8, 29, and he, this is Jesus talking, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, For I do always those things that please him. Do you know the Lord will not leave you alone if you live in a way that is pleasing to him? The aim of the true minister should be to please the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who trieth our hearts. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, that is to share, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And I'm emphasizing pleasing God because that's what characterized Enoch's life. Enoch pleased God. That should be of paramount importance to each of us to so live as to please God. An ideal epitaph, but no tombstone. See, an epitaph, it has a heavy responsibility because the epitaph that's written on the tombstone, it has to summarize a person's life in a very few words. There have been a lot of epitaphs. I heard of a man, when he died, had a nice tombstone, but he had just one word inscribed on that tombstone. And that one word was a wonderful word. It's a word that should characterize all of us as children of God. It's a word that should bring reassurance to the soul. It's a word that should brace us with hope. It's a word that gives us a wonderful glimpse of heaven and being with God after a while. It's a word that was made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cruel cross of Calvary. This one word, etched in stone on this man's tombstone, was simply this. The one word was forgiven. That was it. Forgiven. Wonderful epitaph. Would to God that it can at our death adequately summarize each of our lives. But there's another epitaph that was ideal. If they had a tombstone for Enoch, even in the absence of his body, being in the tomb, a wonderful, ideal epitaph could have been simply, "He pleased God." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an ideal epitaph? Simply, "He pleased God." Of course, Enoch didn't have no tombstone. Because Enoch didn't die. Enoch didn't have a tombstone because Enoch wasn't buried. He was translated that he should not see death and was not found. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let us emulate Enoch. Are you living tonight in a way that pleases God? Are you living in a way this evening that you know he's listening to you? If you stand the guilty distance from him and have not yet become his child, why not correct your most unfortunate and lamentable condition this evening through obedience to the gospel? You've heard that wonderful story of love. Believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and arise to walk in the newness of life. And as you walk in the newness of life, like Enoch of old, you'll be walking with God. And you'll be pleasing to God. If you're here and you're already a child of God, but you've not been faithful, you've not been consistent in your walk with him, you can change that as well. You can take remedial measures tonight through repentance, confession, and prayer. And you can have the assurance once more, I know somebody is listening to every word that I say. And I know somebody answers every prayer that I secretly pray. Do you want to resume a faithful walk with God tonight? You can. Why not come now as we together stand and as we sing?
When the Savior calls, I will answer.
When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer.
Well, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart
is your heart right
when
this
he
evening?
Calls me,
is your heart
well,
right
if my
tonight?
Heart is right,
if it's
I
not,
will
why not get right?
If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening.
I'll be somewhere